Lord, help us to commence today with hymn 780, the first five verses. Hymn 780. Come, my soul, and let us try, for a little season, every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason, what is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. Hymn 780, the first five verses.
Thank you. May the Lord help us as we read from his word this morning, two portions of scripture. Firstly, we'll read from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 9 to the end of the chapter, and then Psalm 13. The first book of Samuel, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, that means asked of God, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide for ever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now we'll turn to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 13. Psalm 13. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. May we be instructed by it and each now be given that true spirit of prayer. O most holy and almighty God, it is thy day, that one day in seven that is set apart to worship thee. Yet, Lord, we have to prove that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Without the divine aid of thy Holy Spirit, the sacrifices of our praise will be an abomination in thy sight. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from a form without the power. But may there be now in the hearts of everyone this morning that spirit of prayer, that desire to worship thee. Lord, and if there be those here this morning who are not in that frame of mind, who are far off, are dead, are cold, come and touch them, we pray, that this morning we may be united together and may truly have been said to have worshipped and honoured and glorified thy holy name. Lord, we know not the individual pathways of everyone here, but one thing we do know, that there is a time to be born and a time to die. We have each been born, and we must each die. And yet, Lord, we know not when that time will be, whether young or old, whether in good health or in bad. Lord, but we also know not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. So give us that solemn realization, Lord, that we need to be made right before a holy God, that we cannot stand before thee at that great day of judgment unless clothed in that glorious robe of righteousness of thy dear Son. So reveal the things of Christ unto us by thy blessed Spirit, that everyone here, whatever their age, may rest upon thee, may be able to cry, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. that we may see thee as our loving heavenly Father, who givest us exactly what we need in this life, that chastens as we would chasten our children in that loving way, that hedges up our way to keep us from wandering into the paths of wickedness that we will do left to ourselves. And Lord, may we never come into thy house thinking we are special, thinking we are something better than anybody else upon this earth. For Lord, if we have not fallen into the depths of depravity that many have, it is only because thy restraining hand is upon us. Lord, we tremble where we will be if thou wilt remove thy hand. Keep us, Lord, we pray, in the narrow way that leads to life eternal. And Lord, may it be a desire and the prayer of one and another to be kept, to be drawn, to have that closer walk with God, that calm, that heavenly frame, that light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Lord, by faith, by that precious gift of faith, may we be led to thy dear Son today. May we see that one suffering, bleeding and dying. May we see that precious blood that was shed for sinners. May everyone here know that that is what they are in the sight of a holy God and be convicted under that weight of sin. But Lord, may they be given that faith to flee to the foot of the cross, to see there that place where justice and mercy meets in a crucified Saviour. Lord, we know not what the prayers have been this morning, but Lord, we believe there has been prayer. May we be truly able to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. May we look around the various ones in the congregation and pray for them, that today we may be knit together, that we may be a true church here below. But Lord, we need thy Spirit in our midst. Lord, we pray for the children and young people here this morning. Oh, what a delight it is to see them here. Whether it be the babies, whether it be the young children, or whether it be the young adults, we pray, Lord, that they may be kept, that they may not moan and groan about coming to chapel on thy day, but that they may willingly go, and that in due time they will work within their hearts. Lord, for they live in a day which is very difficult. They live in a day where there is so much temptation and so much to draw them away. Lord, keep them, we pray, whether they be homeschooled or whether they go to school or whatever the situation may be, we each have those wicked hearts within us. Do keep them, Lord, we pray, and may they hear a little something today which does them good. Lord, those who have had those exams and will await those results, Lord, may they be given that which is needful for them. May they see thy hand opening the doors for them in their lives. Lord, and we pray that in the appointed time, those right relationships will be able to form so that another generation can be raised up to serve, to worship thee in this place. We pray for parents here, and oh, how much there is to fill every hour of our day. Give us wisdom, Lord, to bring up our children in the right way. And we would remember those that are unable to have children too. But Lord, may there be that felt union with the young ones here, and may they have those children in Christ. Lord, we pray that whatever our age or case may be, as we walk through this journey here below, we may know that thou art walking with us. Lord, help us in our daily lives to be that right example. Do, Lord, if it be thy will, give those opportunities in our daily lives to speak well of thee, that we may not be ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom our hopes of heaven depend. And we will pray for those older in years here, Lord, those who may feel their strength beginning to fail, those who know that they cannot have many years or decades left on this earth. Lord, we would remember the deacons here. We pray for them, that they may be given much wisdom, and that they may be given that strength to carry out their duties week by week. And as it comes to the time of the year to book those to preach for the coming year, may we do so in the fear of the Lord. And may there be those right engagements made, that this people here may know that there is a living ministry in their midst. And as those come and stand to preach to them here, there may be that blessing from thee. O Lord, why are we here? What are we upon this earth for? May we ever concentrate on that, to honour and glorify thy name. We would pray for those that have left attending a place of worship and now are pursuing the dying pleasures of the world. Open their eyes to see that that which they are seeking after must perish, and put that desire within their hearts to seek that treasure which can never be lost. Lord, we would pray for this village and the surrounding villages. And Lord, may there be many that are brought into this place. Oh Lord, we desire and truly beg that there may be this place filled to bursting again with those coming to worship. May that grace be given to accept them as they come, Lord. For there will be, if there is a true revival in this land, there will be real characters brought through the doors. Yet Lord, may we see that we are no better than they are by nature. And may we see, Lord, and plead that in our day we may yet see in this land that real returning unto thee. Lord, we ask great things, but thou hast done it in times past. And we plead, do it again. Lord, not that we may be proud at the sizes of our congregation, but that we may be thankful that there is true fruit and there is true beacons of light in the neighbourhoods that we worship in. Lord, we would pray for our land and our nation. We live in a day, Lord, where there is much to trouble us. Yet, Lord, may we be thankful for all thy many mercies unto us. Lord, we can become so hard-hearted and forget all thy many benefits unto us. May we be thankful for a stable government, thankful for many decades of peace, thankful that we have a health service, thankful that we have food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear, freedom to worship, thy word in a language to understand. Lord, we are surrounded by thy goodness. May we never forget, as we worship, to offer those sacrifices of praise unto thee, thanking thee for all that we have. Lord, we look upon those nations where they have so little, and yet in many of those nations there is that hunger for thy word. Should thy judgments grow severe in this land, Lord, we pray that it may be for thine honour and glory, and that thy people will be submissive to thy will. We have seen the health of the nation affected. We now see the wealth of the nation in touched by rising inflation. Lord, we ask that these things may be used to turn souls unto thee. Lord, we would pray for those that mourn at this time. Do be with the congregation at South Chard with the loss of their pastor there. O Lord, many years of deep affliction he has had to walk in. Yet, Lord, he is now with thee in glory. O Lord, give us those wings of faith to rise and to have those glimpses by faith of where thy people are now. Comfort the widow, be with her, and Lord, may she truly know, and the family, that peace in that knowledge that he is now with thee. Lord, we live in a day where thy servants, those that preach thy word, for Lord, we should all be thy servants, but those that preach the word, Lord, there are few. There are many empty pulpits. There is much to trouble us. Raise up others, Lord, we pray, to go and preach thy word. But Lord, it is all thy will. But Lord, may we seek that there may yet be days of true encouragement. Lord, we come this morning. May we be given that true spirit of confession, acknowledging that we have all sinned and come short of thy glory. Lord, may we come humbly, laid low, stripped of self, desiring to see Jesus. May that be the cry today, that we may see the face of thy dear Son. Lord, may we know thy love and not go home empty. It's thy work, Lord. Come into our midst and work, we pray. Help us as we sing those hymns, Lord. May they truly be the language of our hearts. And as we turn to thy word, Lord, may it prove to be thy word to one or another. May we be thy messenger with thy message. Oh, come, dear Holy Spirit, into our midst. Reveal Christ unto us. Lord, we need thee, every one of us, so do truly help us. Prepare the hearts of the people to receive the word. Empty us of self, Lord, that we may not mar thy precious word. Lord, truly come, we beg. Forgive all that we have asked amiss, that which we have forgotten to pray for, Lord. May it have been prayed for by the congregation, and our prayer be a united prayer this morning. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let's continue with hymn 780, commencing at verse 6. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the Scriptures witness. And what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? Hymn 780, commencing at verse 6.
plead to the Lord to help us each this morning, both in the preaching and in the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn to the psalm that we read, Psalm 13, and the first verse. Psalm 13, and the first verse. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Maybe this is the cry of one of you here this morning, who feels that the Lord has forgotten you, who feels that the Lord has hid his face from you. Who longs to know a little of that comfort, that joy and that peace, which only the Lord's face can bring. But we can only truly value something and long for the return of something if we have known a little of it in the past. When a loved one may go away for a reason, for a little while from us, and we miss them. Why is that? Because we've known their love, we valued it, and we want it again. This was the cry of David here. He felt forgotten. He felt the Lord had hid his face. So as we may be given help this morning to look at this psalm, and particularly this first verse, how the Lord hides his face from us, why he hides his face from us, and what our response should be to the hiding of his face. It is a theme that runs through the Bible. God's face bringing comfort. Now, in one way, God does not have a face. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. But as we have contained in that lovely benediction in Numbers chapter 6, what was the desire of Aaron there for his people? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Is that your desire this morning? That the Lord's face will return and give thee peace. We read that portion, Hannah's prayer, didn't we? What was Hannah's desire there? She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. Is that where you are this morning? Felt the Lord has forgotten you? whether it be in providence, whether it be in your day-to-day life, whether it be something you need or desire or long for to help you through this life, whether it be a trial, whether it be an illness, whether it may be some unspeakable circumstance you've been brought into. You need the Lord to remember you in it. Whether it be in your soul, whether you feel that the devil has now got the upper hand, that you feel that you do not know what you need to know. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. We have just been singing, haven't we, that beautiful hymn. And why is it beautiful to the Lord's people? Because it is what it says above that hymn. It's the dialogue between a believer and his soul, sinking beneath that load of sin, but looking to Jesus. Feeling by faith that we sometimes view it, but we need more of it. What about that last verse we just sung? Is that not our text? What when prayer meets no regard? What are we to do? Still repeat it often. But what do we feel? We feel ourselves so hard. What do we need? Jesus, will thee soften? But where are we? Our enemies make head. What are we to do? Let them closer drive thee. How do we feel? Cold, dark and dead. But what's the promise? Jesus, not may, but will revive thee. So let us try and look a little at this psalm, or the theme contained within it this morning. David, one of the Lord's people, a man after God's own heart. What had changed? Had the Lord's love changed? Had the Lord gone? No. David's perspective of the Lord had changed. And we can view it in this way, and maybe this is a way that you children can understand this point this morning. We could view it like this. The Lord is the solid rock or the land. And we in this life are like on a big lake. And we are in a little rowing boat and we are near the land. It is a nice sunny day and we're just away from the edge of the land. And we drift off. We maybe fall asleep. We are not aware of our surroundings. And the little boat of our life drifts away from the shore. Something stirs us. Something rocks the boat. Something awakens us from our sleepy state. We sit up. What do we see? The shore is a long way away, distant from us. We're in trouble. We know we need to get back to the shore. What's changed? Has the shore changed? Or has our perspective of the shore changed? We've drifted. And you know, there's a lot in that word drift, isn't there? It's something that happens slowly, almost imperceptibly. And it can be like that in our hearts. Slowly, imperceptibly. Over days, weeks, months, years, decades, we drift away from our Lord. We may go through our school years. We may go through the early years of our adult life. We may become consumed with everything that is in our life. And what are we doing? We're drifting further away from the shore. We're drifting further away from our Lord. Now, many of those things that can cause us to drift are lawful. Things we have to attend to day by day. But, dear friends, everything in this life is temporal, will be gone. May we know the Lord. May we know his face upon us. May we be found looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So this morning, how does the Lord do this? How does the Lord hide his face from us? Sometimes in our lives, he can bring those providential trials. Whether it be the loss of something, whether it be the not giving of something that we want or feel we need, whether it can be an illness or a family difficulty, there can be those providential trials. The Lord brings these things into our lives to shake our little boat, to awaken us again, to feel our need of something. It's what the psalmist says in Psalm 107, isn't it? And many verses, but we could read verses 5 and 6. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them, in need of something. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And only then. We need these things, dear friends. We don't want them. We don't look for them. But how often we need them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Have you proved it this year? Have you proved it? The Lord has brought you into a pathway which you didn't look for, you didn't really want, but it was for your good. Why? Because it made you cry unto the Lord in your trouble. And what did you prove from it? He delivered you out of your distresses. That's where the joy is, isn't it? In the deliverance from the distress. To know that the Lord has heard our prayer. He has heard our cry. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. No, not forever. But long enough to teach us. Long enough to make us realize we're dependent upon him for everything. Long enough to turn our hard hearts again to our first love. And we need those things, dear friends. We need them. 8 years ago yesterday, my father suddenly died. At the time, caused me great distress. At the time, I did not know how I could continue. It was a kick in the stomach. The Lord hid his face from me. It was only a few months after I had been baptized. But in looking back, I needed that. I needed to be taught a lesson. One of the words that the Lord made exceedingly precious to me was this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I had found safety in the name of the Lord. I had found peace and security and joy. So that I could put on that open profession of my faith. But you know, only a few weeks, a few months, you start then looking to your own tower of strength, your own abilities, your own security. The Lord needed to remove that great support from my life to teach me. No, you must lean on me and lean on me alone. I questioned the Lord's wisdom. I was brought into many dark places, but it was needful that he would reveal his face more sweetly again. To know that the hidings of his face are to turn us again to the one we love. Those providential things the Lord will use. But there are also those things of grace. The Lord hides his face by putting between us and him that great mountain of sin. That great barrier between him and us. That knowledge that we need that removed, and we have no ability to remove it ourselves. Once again, that's what we find in that hymn, isn't it? Oh, I sink beneath the load of my nature's evil. Full of enmity to God, captived by the devil, restless as the troubled seas, feeble, faint and fearful, plagued with every sore disease, how can I be cheerful? Has the Lord begun to reveal your sin unto you? Is it blocking out his face? Is that what you plead for this morning? To know that those sins of yours are washed away, are laid upon a precious Saviour. So that those sins can be removed and you can see his precious face. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all else beside. That's what the Apostle Paul cried, wasn't it? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He knew his sins, and yet he believed in the Lord, but he still felt his sins. He still felt that which was blocking him on that true communion with his Lord. Maybe you've been there many weeks, many months, many years. You feel a barrier between you and the Lord now, which wasn't there at one point. You need the Lord's face to shine upon you again. That once again you can come into that last verse of Romans 7 and say, I thank God, how? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So that once again you can look with the eyes of faith, with the knowledge that yes, you carry about this body of death. That yes, you drag around this sin-defiled body, but the eyes of faith to look to that which is to come. Looking to that time we'll be delivered and we'll be and we'll see him face to face. And we'll know that time where his face is truly shining upon us. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? There is much truth contained in that hymn number 981, isn't there? And that third verse, would he reveal my sin and woe? Teach me my numerous wants to know and help me in my darkest frame to what? To build my hopes on Jesus' name. Has the Lord revealed to you your sins? Revealed your sin and woe, taught you your numerous wants to know. Oh, may he by faith help you in your darkest frame, where you feel the Lord has left you, forgotten you, forsaken you, to build your hopes on Jesus' name. Though unbelief, dear friend, may long molest, and sin and Satan break your rest, grace shall at last the victory get, and make your conquest quite complete. But let us try and move on this morning. How the Lord does this hides his face. But why does the Lord do this? What's the reason? Well, one of the main reasons is to show that we have grieved him. To show that we have sinned before a holy God. That was what the prodigal son was brought to, wasn't it? And that parable there teaches us much. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. The Lord will hide his face to turn us. The parable of that son. He had gone into the world. And that's what we can do. Drift slowly away. Wasted his substance with riotous living. Say, well, that's not me. I'm not wasting my substance with riotous living. But are you wasting your time? Are you wasting the precious gifts God has given you? Are you consumed with everything else? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First things must be put first. We can justify ourselves and think, oh, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to me. May the Lord search our hearts as individuals to see what it is that we have done and are doing that is causing him to hide his face. That we may then say, I hate the sins that drove thee from my breast. Sin, to reveal our sin unto us. That can be often why the Lord will hide his face. That we may turn again to him. That we may repent of our sins. And that is what that word repentance truly means. That turning away. It is us drifting away from the shore. We're heading away. We need to turn back. We don't realize we're in trouble. We don't realize where we are. But are we miles from the shore of safety? Are we miles away now, drifted from our God? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? But maybe also it is to reveal our hypocrisy. You know, it greatly troubles me how many times I have been to the house of God. And still do come to the house of God without a true spirit of worship. I tried to preach last Lord's Day from those words in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my cause? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with, or I cannot bear it, I cannot endure it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. These sacrifices, this was what God had set before them to perform in the Old Testament way. But what was the problem? Their heart was not in it. And is that the problem with you? Is that the problem with me? Is that the problem in our churches now? The Lord is fed up with our vain oblations. The Lord is fed up with our mock sacrifices, our mock humility. We come, we go, but do we truly worship? Do we worship him in spirit and in truth? Does it concern you that in the day in which we live, the Spirit of God is not stirred up within us as it has been in times past? Is the root of the matter in your heart and in my heart? Have our sacrifices, have our offerings become an abomination in the eyes of our God? Is all we have got in our worship an outward form without the power? Dear friends, what were Jesus' words to the Pharisees? Is that all we've got? The religion of the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Is that you? Is that me? We look the part, we walk the walk, we talk the talk, but what's in our heart? Do we truly worship our God? And does it concern us that the Lord's face is hidden from us? Dear friends, we're living in a day where there is much outward worship in our churches. But is there that true heart worship? How did you wake up this morning? How did I wake up this morning? Did you plead that the Lord would come into our presence? Did you ask that the Lord would reveal his face unto you? Or are you content to sit in your pew, drift to sleep, and come and go again, visiting the house of God, thinking that will save you in the day of judgment? Well, it won't, dear friends. It won't. Are we drifting away from our God? Are we surprised that his face is hidden from us? Is all we have got is tradition, formality, ritual, with no true heart worship? We can't give it to ourselves, but are we pleading for it? Are we asking that we may know his presence with us, that we may see his blessings poured out upon us more? Are you looking to your neighbours? Are you looking to those that we work with? Are you looking to those in this village and pleading for their souls? Or are you selfish, content, drifting from our God? Is he hiding his face to reveal unto us that we are nothing more than a bunch of Pharisees, a bunch of hypocrites? May it not be so. May the Lord stir his spirit up within the hearts of every one of you, that we may be brought back to glory in the face of our God, to know his presence and his comfort once again, to know his mercy, to trust in his love. But why else can the Lord hide his face? To purify our faith. To refine what we have got. That was what Peter said, wasn't it, in his letter. In that first chapter we read in there, don't we, in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your little faith, my little faith, needs trying. The Lord tries it by hiding his face. The Lord refines that little gift of faith, that it may be precious. That all the dross, all the rubbish, All the muck that we are floating in is removed. The faith is refined. That can be oftentimes why the Lord will hide his face. But time is going and we must march on. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? What should we do, dear friends? What should our response be when we are aware that the Lord has hidden his face? We need to search our ways. We need to search our hearts. We need to plead that the Lord will reveal those things unto us. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, wasn't it? Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We don't like to be searched, but we need to pray to be searched. And if you know that the Lord has hid his face from you, are you really praying to be searched by your God? Is that what you're really praying for? From your heart? Or have you still got that there and that there which you know is not right in the eyes of God, but you're not willing to lay it straight, to rectify it, to sort it out? Don't be surprised then if the Lord hides his face, and will continue to hide his face. If he's revealed something to you that you haven't done, which you know you should do, don't be surprised. Because you're not really asking for God to search you out. You're asking for God to continue to hide those things which you're unwilling to sort out. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. But dear friends, maybe there is one here this morning who says humbly, I've cried, and I've cried to the Lord to be delivered from whatever I am in, and he still is hiding his face from me. He's still not delivering me. I don't know what to do. What else are we to do? Wait on the Lord. Once again, we go back to that hymn that we just sung together. What does it say in that last verse that we sung? I think it is the last verse anyway. It says there, in the verse preceding, when that measure far from great still shall seem decreasing, faint not then, but pray and wait, never, never ceasing. Now, sometimes we can get can misinterpret that waiting upon the Lord. That doesn't mean a waiting in a relaxed way. Just sit back and the Lord will do whatever he will do. No. The waiting is what the hymn writer describes there. Pray and wait. Never, never ceasing. Yes, to wait on the Lord to appear, but not to be neglectful to seek his face. Why? Because he says, ask and it shall be given you. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Not sit back and you'll find. Not sit back and it will be given to you. No, we're to ask, to seek, and to knock. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? But finally, what else should we do? Remember. That's what the psalmist got to in his psalm here, wasn't it? In verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. There is that right looking back. Remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember his mercies to you thus far in your life, in providence and in grace. The hymn writer says, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he'll never, no, never forsake to his foes. Are you leaning upon Jesus? Are you leaning upon one who felt forsaken? Is that where you are looking to with the eyes of faith? To one that was forsaken. The Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Is that where you're looking for deliverance? For the warmth of his countenance to be upon you? To a crucified Saviour? To one who cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Without that perfect sacrifice, without the shed blood of Christ, without the remission of sins, we would never know God's countenance upon us. We would never know his presence. But through that work, through a precious Saviour, by faith we can draw near. By faith we can see the way that has been made where we can approach a holy God. A precious, precious Jesus. There is the lines of that hymn. My soul, through many changes goes. His love, no variation knows. You may feel this morning, the Lord has hid his face. The Lord will never reveal his face again to you. Remember what's changed. Jesus is immutably the same. He changes not. It is us that has changed. It's our perspective that's changed. May he once again draw near, draw us unto him, that we may see his precious face, his smile of peace. I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, may the Lord open your eyes again. Maybe look back, see those precious promises in the Word of God. Know that they cannot be broken. I'll sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. It's another way that we need our eyes opened, to see his bountiful mercy, to see how slow to anger he has been with us, to see that he has kept us from falling. Is that the theme of your song this morning? Although you do not feel his face as you long to, do you know a little of his mercy? Are you resting on his sweet consistency? Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair, but through thy free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. You may feel that face to be hidden, but if you feel it, it proves you're not dead. It proves it is keeping you still alive. It proves that he's still working. But you're not content, you're not happy, until you know the warmth of his face again. May he draw near. enabled you to rejoice in that salvation and to sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30. And tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 7:00 with an address by Mr. Cottingham. And Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday. And there will be a collection after this service for the free Bibles that we distribute. And Mr. Philip Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 974. 974. While contests rend the Christian church, oh, may I live the friend of the peace, the sacred mine of scripture search, and learn from man, vain man to cease. Hymn 974.
Thank you.
Almighty God, may there have been something in our gathering together this morning. Lord, may everyone here desire thy face to shine upon us. And if we do not know, have not known thy presence, Lord, give that desire. May our cry be with the last verse of that hymn. Lord, search my heart. Oh, search me through. Detect, destroy what's not thy own. Whene'er I speak, whate'er I do, oh, may I seek thy praise alone. Is that our desire in thy sight this morning? To seek thy praise alone. Work within the hearts of the people, we pray. Lord, forgive all that we have spoken amiss, but that which has been of thee, Lord, apply it with power, that it may do real good for one or another. Help us this afternoon as we gather for the Sunday school. Those that will gather for worship this evening, Lord, do be with us there. And as we gather round thy table too, Lord, may we know thy presence today. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.